The NAACP means the National Association for the Advancement of Colored People, was founded February 12, 1909. And that's why we host this event in February, because we want to celebrate our birthday. So February 12, 1909 was all of NAACP branches across the country. The NAACP was formed out of real necessity. And during the summer of 1908, a race riot erupted in Springfield, Illinois, which, by the way, was the hometown of Abraham Lincoln. The race riot was a catalyst for conversation, and so it was said, in quotes, "Doesn't anyone care what happens to the Negroes in America?" Mary White Ovington, one of several white liberals, convened a biracial group, and thus the NAACP began. So now, in this organization, we handle and wear a lot of hats, but we have six game changers that we consider very important to the lifeblood of this organization and this local branch. So our six game changers are economic stability, a chance to live in America, and a dream for all. Every person will have an opportunity to achieve economic success, sustainability, and financial security. Two, our second game changer, education. A free, high-quality public education for all. Every child receive free education. High-quality, equitably funded public pre-K and K-12 education, followed by a diverse opportunity for accessible, affordable, vocational, or university education. Health. Health equality for all Americans, including healthy lifestyle, high quality health care, and everyone will have equal access to affordable health quality, and racial disparity health will be the outcomes that will end, high quality education care and racially disparity health outcomes will be the end. Public safety and criminal justice. Equitable dispensation of justice for all. Disproportionate incarceration. Racially motivated policies, strategies, and racially biased, discriminatory, and mandatory minimum sentencing will end. Incarceration will be greatly reduced. Communities will be safer. Our next game changer, number five, voting rights and political representation. Protect and enhance the voting rights and fair representation. Every American will have free and open, equal, and protected access to vote and fair representative of all of the political processes. By protecting the democratic participation and civic engagement, people of color will be proportionately elected to political office. Expanding youth and young adult engagement. The NAACP is working towards expanding the presence of youth consciousness in every aspect of our local branch through significant attention to all, through expanding our youth engagement program. Young adults is the key engagement for this branch. So if we don't have people that want to advocate on behalf of young people and guide them, then, of course, we won't have a successful community. Tonight, I will briefly touch upon each of these game changers and identify projects we have either completed or those in projects in progress, and the partnerships that we have formed and the community people that make this all possible. I've always said, I'll continue to say, that NAACP is not a spectator sport. Without our many tireless volunteers, most of what we do would not be possible. So we're going to handle game changer number one, a chance to live the American dream for all. So we're going to start with a reduction of our chapter debt. Let's start with, and we want to lead by example. Last year, we created a brochure that listed myself, Gwen Mork, and our good friend Sherry Dozier Owens created this brochure that I think is top-notch. And so when you join the NAACP, you can get one of these. So when we decided we needed to list the brochure and list all the things that were our accomplishments, we thought it was important to note here, we are definitely reducing the debt, and we are proud to share our progress. As a follow-up and an update, I'm happy to report we continue to reduce our chapter debt. For us, that's significant. I am happy to report that in the next 3 to 6 months, we will totally retire our debt. Thank you. This is even greater than positive news. This only happened through our limited fundraising, but we also have some great benefactors that helped us muddle through some of that debt. Our next game changer under the first one is Interstate 81. Don't groan. We probably have a lot of people with different ideas and thought processes. Our economic development team will be, but they're not going to be limited to tackling the I-81 issue, supporting our community's advocacy for the community grid. Yes, we said it, the community grid. The team will also explore the feasibility of redeveloping several underdeveloped corridors within the city by working with our community partners and local government. Additionally, our team will seek to develop partnerships to leverage our ability to make sure it's secure the employment for people of color and individuals in underserved communities. So, one of our community partners is the police and fire. In order to live that American dream, we have to have access to jobs. In order to provide jobs, we will be working with the Syracuse Police Department, Fire Department, New York State Police, and we hope as well the Onondaga County Sheriff's Department. And when we work with the police, it also will include Camp 415. That's the Central New York Minority Police, and the 415 stands for some of you that don't know, it was a badge number of an officer killed in the line of duty. FOCUS, that's Firefighters of Color United, and it is our hope, as I said, that we want to include the Sheriff's Department in on this, to conduct training classes that will assist minorities how to pass civil service exams. And we think that's huge. Chief Buckner, Chief Mons, can you just stand for just a moment so we can, for those of you, thank you. That partnership for us is huge. It will not only benefit the police and fire department and the New York State Police, but it will also boost our economy in the city and the county. We also formed a partnership with the Union Apprenticeship Program under the direction of Earl Hall and Mike Allen. Mike Allen is a former UAW member, and Earl Hall is in charge of this Syracuse Builders Exchange. And our hope is that, and that's, it's a hope, and it's more than a hope, it's a total expectation of setting up apprenticeship programs that ready minorities for future skilled trades, jobs, in employment in and around the county of Onondaga. The outcome is to be competitive in the skilled trades arena, and we're not right now, so our hope is that we get there. So I grew up as a union person, so unions are near and dear to my heart. So I'm pleased to announce we are collaborating with the state National Coalition of Black Trade Unionists, CBTU. The Coalition of Black Trade Unionists consists of members from 77 international and national unions, 42 chapters of unions throughout this country, both living and deceased, that unremittingly struggle to build this national movement that would allow all our strengths and varied talents to bear in the unending effort to achieve economic political, and social justice for every single American. And that partnership will take place in the Central New York Area Labor Federation, AFL-CIO, United Auto Workers, 1199, and we are meeting within a month to form and recharter the chapter on March 26th. So any of you that are union members, please come out on March 26th at 5 o'clock at the headquarters of 1199 SEIU. So, bus schedules and transportation, that is ever increasingly a problem. So while pursuing the American dream, what about bus transportation? If we find a job, we can't get to the job because of cut bus routes or non-existent bus routes. So what happens to that dream? Instead of looking for the bus line and waiting on the bus line, we may end up and stand on the unemployment line. So now some of you may be saying, well, I can always use Uber. We can use Lyft. Well, that's the difference between $2.50 for a bus ride or $12 for a 3-mile ride. Most of us can't afford that. And that kind of makes us, you know, out of the realm, and it puts the way up there, because I know if you have, at the end of the week, if you got to put food on the table and you have to buy diapers, and there's no way to get. My husband and I were at Panera Bread the other day, and we walked in, and there was a young kid laying on a seat. And we were there for some 15 minutes, and no adult came over. And I wondered, I said, you know what, I'm getting a little bit, did somebody just abandon this child? So I said to who I thought was a management, I said, that little boy's sitting over there, where's the adult? He said, well, his father's babysitter bailed on him this morning, and he brought him to work. And I applauded this young African-American male who decided to bring his son to work because he had no other choice. But he could have made another choice. He could have stayed home, and he could have just worried, well, what happens if I don't have money at the end of the week to feed him? I'll worry about that next week. But I even further applaud Panera Bread, because they allowed a booth that was that would fit up to 6 people, and they allowed this young kid to lay in that seat, and they chose not to sell this to their customers who were paying customers. So I was just overwhelmed by, number one, this young man's tenacity that he's going to bring his kid to work, and Panera Bread for allowing him to lay there during the busiest time, which was noontime. So some of those things that, because we just think it's very simple, if we have a car and we can put gas in it, we can get where we're going. All of us are not in that economic status. So we're going to explore the feasibility of securing grants, perhaps so that we can maybe run some vans to some of the outlying companies, because sometimes people get to work, but they can't get home. So you get out there and you go to work. Now, how the bus stops at 10 o'clock, I get off at 11. So how am I going to get home? So we're going to see if we can secure some grants to see about the feasibility of taking them mass transit. Well, 15 passenger, I guess that's not mass transit. So that's one of the things that we're going to be exploring. Our MBE compliance in the month of July back in 2018, to assure the vote to codify the MWBE guidelines inclusive of veterans and service-disabled veterans-owned businesses that have Onondaga County contracts, the Syracuse NAACP jumped into action. The Syracuse branch was instrumental as one of the community members and organizations that attended this meeting and wrote letters of support in the much-needed legislation, joining forces with our community partners, and that bill was passed. And I want to thank one of the people here tonight, Linda Urban, because she was very instrumental, her and Monica Williams, in getting that passed. So thank you, Linda. So last year, if some of you were here, how many were here last year for this address? Okay, I empowered you to do a drive-by. And that drive-by was that you go by and you see how many minorities are working on public projects. I'm not going to embarrass you, but I'm sure that probably most, if not none, did that. So, with the coming down of 81, no matter which way it goes, we're going to need minority jobs. We are not going to start looking for jobs for our people the day before the project starts. That just can't happen. It's got to start now. So we're asking you by the 28th of this month to do some drive-bys and check out public-private projects to see how many minorities are working on these jobs. So will you pledge to me and get back to the NAACP? We have a very public email address, and report to us that you went to what site and how many minorities you saw working on that public project. It's not hard. We don't even have to go out of our way, because I'm sure you'll pass it on the way going somewhere. Our mural work committee. Everyone knows, or maybe you're not familiar, that we had a mural that was very objectionable in the Hotel Syracuse. And there were a lot of community stakeholders that came in and met, and there was a solution. But I convened a group that consisted of Joni Mahoney, Mike Atkins, Van Robinson, and Dragana Jabrovnak. And they were instrumental in offering some solutions as to what they could do, and I'm pleased, but not everyone is pleased, because we cannot please everyone, that they came to a satisfactory solution and it was rectified as best that they could do it. So we're proud of that accomplishment, that there are some things in the community that we do have an impact. Our cultural exhibit at the Van Robinson Pan-African Village. So last year, with the assistance of our former county exec, Joni Mahoney, Troy Waffner, commissioner for the New York State Fair, the Pan-African Village was dedicated to my own Van Robinson. Yeah. And it was a long time coming. When he retired from the council, Joni said, well, what could we do that will make a community impact on Van? We can't forget about Van. Van's not going to let you forget about him. So Joni came up with this idea. We convened a committee, and this is what it is. So now it is officially called the Pan-African Village. And so I want to thank Joni Mahoney, Troy Waffner, Governor Cuomo, in helping to dedicate and rename the Pan-African Village, the Van Robinson Pan-African Village. So our next game changer is education, a free, high-quality public education for all. Education in all that it encompasses is the lifeblood of a healthy community in its totality. Without education, everything else fails. Economics, housing, crime, jobs, and I can go on and on. So I did tell you that we brought on a brand new education chairperson, Dr. Daria Willis of OCC. She's the provost up there. She's not from here. She's from a warmer climate. And Dr. Casey Crable was like, yeah, she loves snow. And she goes, I don't love snow. But nevertheless, she's here in this community, and I think at some point some of you will meet her. So she's going to tackle a number of ongoing issues that plague our community. The NAACP, in its totality, wants to help prioritize some of the things that are wrong with the educational system. So one of the things that we're not doing, we're not going to various school districts and we're not monitoring what their school boards do. And so I've asked, and I'm empowering that committee, to go to the various school districts, and we're not limiting it to, but we're starting off with our city school district, our charter schools, JD, West Genesee, West Hill, Liverpool, North Syracuse, Fayetteville, Manlius, and Salve. That's kind of like almost all of them, I think. However, we're not going to stop there. Wherever anyone sees an inequity, please get in touch with us and let us know that the particular school district is not living up to expectations, And we'll get it on our list and add it to our hit list. So we want to, one of the other things that we want to work on is to eliminate segregation and other discriminatory practices in the public school. We want to monitor the type of textbooks. And we also are going to work on removing racially derogatory material from our textbooks. I just think I just heard on the news, and we also probably have to train some of the teachers that teach our young people, because I just heard that a teacher somewhere in these United States thought it was cute to give her African-American kids in the classroom some cotton. Well, when is that acceptable in this, you know? I mean, you don't even need to have a whole brain. Half a brain will just do. So health equality for all Americans, including a healthy life and high-quality care. LaToya Jones, where's LaToya? Is LaToya still here? Oh, there you are. She's the one that I said that in less than 24 hours she had a committee built, and I'm thinking, oh, my goodness, this young lady has hit the ground running. So as the chair and in line with the Syracuse branch's goals to ensure health equality for all residents of this community, we're going to mobilize, and she's going to mobilize her team in educating the community on mental health, because that's run rampant in not just this community, but every community across these United States, to diversify the healthcare system in terms of the workplace where we work. We will also be partnering with the Onondaga County Health Department on Narcan training in the minority community, because we know they do it, but nobody comes into the minority community to do any Narcan training. So we're going to see that that happens, and we're going to partner with the county on that. We're going to work with the American Red Cross and learn how to do some CPR training and have some blood drives. Criminal justice, that's another game changer. Equitable dispensation and justice for all. Last year, I asked you to tackle some of the issues that face this community. To mention a few, I said we looked at a number of issues surrounding the quality of life that affect our community. I mentioned Syracuse ranking the eighth worst for black people to live in, the eighth worst city for African Americans to live in. That was according to a 2017 Wall Street Journal article. That's not a list that I would be proud of, and I don't think that has changed. We couldn't find any further stats on that, so we may still be on the hit list of eight. And African Americans in Syracuse earn just 44.2 U.S. dollars compared to white persons. So we got a long way to go to bring our income level up to meet the rest of the United States. Voice, violence, overcoming by involving our community efforts. You heard from Reverend Carter. Thank you. We felt that we couldn't do this by ourselves because we're only a small army. And so some of the things that we do, we're going to do via partnership. And so I gave you a call one day, and she welcomed us with open arms. So we're going to be partnering with her group in order to try to combat gun violence, street violence. And one of the things that she shared with me when I talked with her back a month or so ago was back 10, 20 years ago, she brought a gentleman to the city from what city? St. Louis, Missouri. And he told us what our problems were in this city. And nobody listened. I said nobody listened, because exactly what he predicted would happen in terms of gun violence happened, correct? And so I said, I have no clue how you ended, but if great minds get together and many minds get together, we can make a dent in this, because bullets don't know no names. They don't know no hair color. They don't know no age. They don't know nothing. They just know that it projected out of a weapon and it hits. I just saw on the New York City news that some guy decides he's going to shoot. Kids are going to school, and he's thinking he's in the wild, wild west, and he's shooting down a street. And so that could be any one of us on that street. So we're hoping to make some inroads, and hopefully some of our ideas will help solutions, and we can make a path that ends gun violence, or at least eradicate it halfway. Snow removal. That was an issue that I mentioned last year during my address. And of course, when you talk about snow removal, you have to talk about snow. So I want to thank Mayor Walsh, with Sharon Owens, Deputy Mayor. Thank you on behalf of the NAACP for getting that done and hiring a private contractor that can clear the city streets for our young population, our disabled population. And we know we're ranking now. I don't even know what our ranking is in the snow. I hope we're not don't have the distinction of being number one, but we probably will. So thank you very much. Thank the mayor on behalf of the NAACP for that. As I said, we're going to work with the Syracuse Fire Department, and we're going to be looking for grants that give smoke detectors in some of our most impoverished places. And so our meeting that I was going to have with the city school district, we've had to postpone it a couple of times, but we're going to work on it. And any of you that can jump in where we say we have a need, if you know the answer, we'll take your recommendation. But Chief Mons and I are going to see if we can secure grants, smoke detectors, carbon monoxide detectors, and we're going to get a grant, and we're going to deliver them to all those homes in the city of Syracuse. Thank you, Chief. Thank you very much. So, increasing homelessness. Did many of you know that we have a homeless problem for young people? I bet you you'll be surprised. So, there was an article in the Post Standard back in 27, and I quote, and I'm going to read it. One of 10 students in the Syracuse City School District were homeless in 2016. The district had 2,464 homeless students. 2,464 students. That's a crying shame. So, and we're not first. We're second, because New York City has a higher number than that. Most of these homeless children are not homeless in the way most of us would imagine. They don't live in shelters or on the streets. They are doubled up, crashing with someone else's in a home. So that means the kids live in a series of cobbled together arrangements, shuffling from one bed, one couch, one floor, and waiting until that welcome runs out, unquote. Education, poverty, and quality of life issues in our community are intrinsically linked. In continuing our path to make Syracuse and Onondaga County a better place to live and a better place to be safe, and that all of us have a good quality of life, we're going to forge on and see what we can do. We plan to take definite actions in the 2019-2020 term that will positively affect these issues and continue to partner with our community allies. Number five game changer, that is voting rights and political action. Every American will have free, open, equal, and protected access to votes and fair representation at every level and all levels of this total political process. So, we made great progress last year. It's unprecedented for the Syracuse branch, and maybe this number doesn't surprise you, or maybe you don't think it's enough, but we registered 177 people in the course of probably 2 months, and we were proud. Can we hear? We had a tremendous get-out-the-vote effort. We were also very fortunate because when we filed our voter registration forms, we actually got all the networks in Syracuse out to the Board of Elections as we filed. So, one of the things that we're going to be doing is, number one, registering people to vote, and number two is what? Go get out the vote, because it doesn't do any good to register somebody and they're going to stay home. And one of the things that we're going to try and monitor is that many of us know today I signed someone up, and in a week they may have moved. So one of the things that we're going to monitor is, and we haven't figured it out, so if you've got a solution to this, how do we monitor once we sign them up to make sure that we have their most current address? So, we've got some elected officials here, so put your thinking caps on and see how we can at least make an inroad in this, because I think that's what happens. You register them today, they're gone tomorrow, and then their form comes back and they don't. We did some of our vote drives at Jazz in the City. We did it at our Pan-African Village. And last year, Governor Cuomo, I don't know if all of you know this, but Governor Cuomo, I think it was April of last year, restored the voting rights to those New Yorkers on parole. And we signed up five members. And so five may not seem like a lot, but we hope to double that, quadruple that in the next year. And throughout our political season last year, we didn't do this by ourselves. Every effort that the NAACP did, in some instances we had community partners. We had a group of area churches, Upstate Medical University, the League of Women Voters, Onondaga Votes, and we all collaboratively worked on getting out the vote, going to the churches, and that's how we got success. Then we did Souls to the Polls. I decided we needed a catchy little name, and so we had Souls to the Polls, and we offered rides to people who did not have rides. And I was overwhelmed that the number of people that needed rides to the polls. I did not know it was that much of a need. People appreciated they had no one to care for their children. We only required that if you had a child, you had to have a car seat. But many people. So we had Zeta Phi Beta that helped us with this. Our voice, we have another group called Voice. It's close, and it's about voter empowerment as well. Apostolic Church of Jesus Christ and Book of Job 3:35. They all helped get out the vote. We got on, and we had Election Central going at our NAACP headquarters downtown. And to finalize our voting, on January 29th of this year, myself, Gwen Moore, and our vice chair of our voter committee, Karen Rigney, we met with the commissioners of Board of Elections, and we have some great partnerships forming there. What we're going to do is, one of the things that we did, we're going to have open forums, and what we're going to do is teach people now what these new electronic machines will do. And I think that's going to be quite a challenge. So I could give you more and more, because we spent a good hour, correct, Karen? So one of the other political things we did was we hosted forums with CATCO, our representative CATCO, and Dana Balter, our candidate for our congressperson. And I think it was very successful. And so we thank Dr. Keith Alford for that, and we all of Syracuse University and Living Water Church of God in Christ. Now, our last game changer is young adult education and our youth department. We have a program called AXO, and the AXO is Afro Academic Cultural Technological and Scientific Olympics. And so if you can remember that, you can retain that, you're really good. I'm not going to put this woman on the spot, but I am. I got an invitation from a young man. His name is Harry Evans, his mother sitting in the audience today. Would you give Harry's new title? He is going to be commissioned, and so Sarah, would you?
He's commander of the Navy.
Can you say it?
Commander of the Navy.
And he's going to have a graduation. He was one of our Axos successors. So Sarah, thank you for raising a great young man. He's a phenomenal young man. He did a project. I can't even spell the name, but he did a project in Axo called Fibonacci Numbers. Well, I don't know what that is today, and that was some 20 years ago. But we're proud of Harry and all the other successes. We've got young people working and dancing with Alvin Ailey. We've got attorneys. One of people is actually on the legal committee. She was one of our Axo alum. So our youth component does an awful lot. And this Axo program was seen by my husband, Van Robinson, in Boston, Massachusetts at a national convention. So we got to get this program here. So some 28, 30 years ago, he brought this program here. So I'm proud of him bringing this program here. It teaches young people that they can overcome. If they're not smart in the books, then they might have an art. We have a learning disabled young man that he was a fabulous artist. So it doesn't mean just because you don't have have 90 grades and 80 grades that you can't successfully achieve anything and any goal you set out to be. And so I'm asking those of you that are adults to help our component, that youth component. If you know somebody who would like to mentor a child, please send them our way. You come our way. So, as we said, we can't do things without money. So one of the things that I thought would be good, so when people pass on, is Ben Garland still here? Did he leave? Is you, Charles? What'd I say, Ben? Oh, okay, sorry. Charles Garland, is that when you pass on, leave us some sustainable gifts for our youth education department, our Axo department, and all of our other youth programs. So if you could just keep that in mind, because you can't do it without money. The other things are partnerships. None of this could happen without our area and community partners. It's overwhelming to think that all we have to do. And as I said, we're all volunteers here. There's no paid staff. And many times we're up until all hours of the day and night working. So we want to thank our community partners, Governor Cuomo, Lieutenant Governor Hochul, New York State Comptroller Tom DiNapoli, Assemblywoman Pamela Hunter, Senator Rachel May, and my good friend, County Executive Ryan Mann, who actually decided I was going to be the NAACP was going to be his first meeting right after he took office. And I thought that sent a message that he took the time to meet with us. Not 3 or 4 weeks later, he met with us, his very first meeting the next morning. So thank you, Executive Ryan McMahon. Now, the rest of our community partners, Onondaga Community College, on behalf of Dr. Casey Crable, Syracuse University, B. Gonzalez, New York State Fair, Pathfinder Bank, they've been a phenomenal support to us in terms of not monetary, necessarily monetary resources, but just people power. Anytime we need anything, they lend us people. Home Headquarters, thank you. Honored Senator Valesky, Central New York Now, we work and we collaborate with them on all fronts. The Office of Mayor Ben Walsh, 100 Black Men, they're our community partners because they are hosting us tonight and we're utilizing their space. So can you give our community partners a round of applause, please? I want to thank you all for coming to the second annual State of the Community. And I'm going to leave you with this. And it's from my friend, deceased friend, Maya Angelou. It is impossible to struggle for civil rights, equal rights for blacks, without including whites. Because equal rights, fair play, justice are all like the air. We all have it, or none of us has it, and that is the truth. Thank you. Good night.